This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Steven Gerrard, Dean Smith, Eddie Howe all have new jobs. We'll discuss what it means for Aston Villa, Norwich City and Newcastle United. Paul Pogba's latest injury and how it affects his future at Manchester United. And a preview of the Premier League weekend focusing on the marquee matchup, Saturday's big one between Liverpool and Arsenal. All that coming up in today's episode. Okay, Robbie Earle, we are back, my friend. International break. We like those. Gives us a little bit of a break from the Premier League. Do a few different things, travel, whatever. What did you get up to in the last couple of weeks?
Watch the games, obviously, across the European qualification and then the CONCACAF qualification, obviously, with my nation, Jamaica, involved with their... We won't talk about the robbed goal in the USA game. We won't go there, and I'm not feeling bad about it. Let's just move on quickly. We can talk about Harry Kane and 7 goals in 2 games for England, closing in on the record English goal scorer. And I think it was a couple of weeks, Rob, where we saw, was it 12 teams who've qualified already now? Something like that, isn't it? And the playoffs... Jeopardy for others, even the great Cristiano Ronaldo, his Portugal team lose to Serbia last minute, Mitrovic goal, and you know, you've got to go through the playoffs. So looking forward to that, the playoffs, how it's handled, who gets through. It was great to see some of the big nations there again and some maybe we didn't expect.
Well, just rewinding, mate, so I went back to England. Went back for a family wedding in the Cotswolds, which was fantastic. And I thought, you know what, it'd be nice to take in a game. So I went to Wembley. I watched that England hammering of Albania in the first half. I went with my dad, my son, my brother, his son, my father-in-law. Brilliant. Real great time, Rob. And we got seats right by the goal that England scored all the goals in. And, you know, in terms of takeaways from the match, right? First, couple of takeaways, Rob. First of all, to be at a... pretty much full, 80,000 people at Wembley, national anthem, and then followed the last post, remembrance, of course, is around that time last weekend. I just thought how powerful it was, how powerful. I mean, it's kind of a little bit emotional. I never played for England, and I know you played for Jamaica, and I you know, I watched my mate, Gareth Southgate. We played together at Middlesbrough. We roomed for that one season. I look at him standing down on the side of the pitch. I'm like, wow. How proud must he feel to be there when there's 80,000 people there? So, and then of course I see Harry Kane score a perfect hat trick, right foot, left foot, header. And other players, Rob, in terms of just watching them, and I did have I swapped a couple of messages with Gareth Southgate afterwards, and the special players, Reece James, seeing him live and the way that he played as a wing back on the day, went with 3 at the back for this game. Cool. He looked really, really special, Rob. Really impressive in terms of everything going forward, crossing, assisting, strong, like physical contact, really strong. And Phil Foden, great to see him up close. The ability that he's got, he is going to be a special talent. And I think, you know, we knew this from Pep at the beginning, talking about how great he looked in training and as a young player. It was really good and a great victory. It all worked out. It was a lovely day, mate. It's just nice to go. Yeah. But I haven't seen England play live for so long.
I was thinking, my two takeaways would be, I heard Harry Kane say in an interview after, this one's for the Musto family, this hat trick. Obviously, you knew you were there. But more importantly, just sitting in with 80,000 fans, Rob, after what we've gone through over the last couple of years, I must have felt a bit strange, awkward, nice, not sure.
Superb. It felt superb. It felt great. Fans were ready to go, ready to cheer, ready to support the team. Goals start going in early. Of course, it always helps. But it's just the occasion, Rob, that got to me a little bit. You know, just at the start with the national anthem. God, it's been powerful, powerful stuff. So I had a brilliant, brilliant time. Great wedding, by the way. Yeah, great wedding, great game.
Well, great for the Musgraves.
Back in the US, yeah.
Back to the Premier League, back to storylines, my friend.
Yes.
And as we know with the Premier League, it does love a storyline. It loves a bit of drama. As the biggest drama we'd have to say over the couple of weeks since we were last together would be the appointment of Steven Gerrard as Aston Villa head coach. Let's discuss Stevie G back in the Premier League.
All right, I'll go first. I like it a lot. Like it a lot, Rob. I feel for Glasgow Rangers and their fans, and I understand their feelings of he's just walked out on us a little bit. I get that, but I think he said himself, Rob, when a club the size of Aston Villa comes calling, he wanted to take it. He wanted to take the opportunity. He wants to come back to the Premier League. I think he talked about family, being closer to his family in that northwest area. Birmingham a lot closer, of course. I like it a lot, Rob. I think it's a really good, really good club for him to come back, Rob, and show everybody what he can do. I think it's a risk as well. I think it's a risk for the club. I think it's a risk for Steven Gerrard for Aston Villa, they're close to a relegation situation. So they're taking a risk on a manager that's got limited experience coaching, of course, none in the Premier League up to this point, youth teams at Liverpool and then up to Glasgow Rangers in the Scottish SPL. And also for Steven Gerrard, Rob, you know, for him, we all know, I'm sure he wants to get to the very top. And everybody will talk about the possibility of going back to Liverpool, which will, or if his road is successful in managing and coaching, that will happen in the future. I think he's right where he says, I don't want to talk about that now. It's disrespectful to Aston Villa. So just my initial thoughts, Rob, are risky for both, fair play, brave from both. But I like it. I like it as a fit. And I'm so excited, Rob. We saw a little bit of Frank Lampard. It didn't last very long. But it's what's great about our jobs. We get to see players that we played against. We know them. We know what they're like. Of learning the ropes in different leagues and coming to the Premier League. It's going to be fascinating to see how he does.
Yeah, I like it myself. I think when Stevie G does a job, I think he's all in. I think he's committed. Saw that at Rangers. I remember hearing him talking about how he's learning his trade, how hard he's got to work, how he's got to build a relationship with players, how he looks at the great managers, the Peps, the Klopps, the Pochettinos he was talking at the time and saying that, you know, I've got to find my groove and my way with them. Well, I slightly disagree maybe and it might be a different interpretation of risk. I think any manager's a risk who goes in. I mean, when we used to talk about de-risking a situation, it would have been Sam Allardyce, experienced, never been relegated. He was with West Bromwich Albion. So there's a risk wherever you take it. I think it's a risk in some respects that suits both sides. I think Steven Gerrard has to now come down to England and has still got a lot to prove, having even been successful up in Rangers in that winning season and winning the title. I think you're right. I think this club at its very best, Rob, punching slightly above its weight with the right kind of finances, is a top eight, top six football club. That's why it's not a stepping stone. That's why he's right to say it's disrespectful. It's not a stepping stone at all.
No.
Aston Villa has the quality and the ability to be up there and fighting and pushing on towards Europe. So it's a great position for Stevie to be at a club with real standing to make a mark. And over the course of time, we're going to learn about Stephen Gerrard. It was interesting, Rob. So the first thing I did was, you know, I'm doing Villa this weekend. Look back at his four last Rangers games. He's a 4-3-3 man. He likes a back four, entering midfield, play two, and then he plays two under the one, three a bit wider, a little variations, but he's a 4-3-3. That's his go-to. So we'll see how that fits with Villa, who's his personnel. There was a lot of chop and changing with Dean Smith towards the end at Villa, and some of the fans were unhappy with that. Be interesting who Stevie sees and feels, and you know, getting his players for the first week. So excited. It's a bit like the Patrick Vieira one for me, Rob. It's going to be a subplot, a sub-story running through the league that I'm going to keep a really close eye on.
I mean, it's a good test, but Rob, it's a good test. You know, they've struggled. They've struggled without Jack Grealish. You know, when Jack Grealish wasn't in the Villa team before, I was reading some numbers on it. Like, Dean Smith hasn't won that many games without Jack Grealish. And, of course, he's left the football club now. New players came in that most of us thought were good signings. Haven't really done it yet. Haven't really done it. I mean, Danny Ings has, but it's been a few injuries. But Leon Bailey hasn't really done it. Emi Buendia certainly hasn't done it. So he has a difficult job, actually. That's why it's going to be fascinating. Fascinating how he handles them tactically. Fascinating what he's like in the media. He's got to deal with man management. He's got to improve players, Rob. It's a very challenging job. I think it's the right appointment. I think we talked about Steven Gerrard for, I think it was Newcastle United, Rob, in terms of, and again, I'll say it one more time. A friend of mine is a big Celtic fan, studies and watches every weekend the Scottish SPL. And, you know, Gerrard, unbeaten season, champions, carries himself really well with media. I think he's been doing it. You know, he's got experience now. Is it 2.5 years? I think as a coach. So I think he's learned a lot. I guess plus the youth days and developing younger players at Liverpool. So yeah, I think it's a really good move. Exciting for actually everybody, us, the club, for him. Yeah. Brilliant.
That's so another ex-player who we've known about now going into management. Just want to move on this one, Rob. It was kind of one of those thoughts. I thought, I'll chuck this one across Musty. You know, there used to be a time when they both were high-class players, Steven Gerrard, Frank Lampard. There was talk about whether you could fit them in the same team and all that kind of discussion used to go on. I didn't like and didn't get. But in terms of the managers, Steven Gerrard's ahead of Frank Lampard, and that's why he'll get this job ahead of where Frank is.
Yes, but it goes back to the risk of management, Rob. Frank Lampard was manager of Chelsea, Rob. Chelsea. He got Chelsea into the top four. Qualified for Europe. And then the following season, a period of the season didn't go very well. He's out. His stock kind of plummets. Also based on Thomas Tuchel coming in and doing so well. And yeah, he's ahead right now, my friend. But that's why this risk thing comes in. Steve Gerrard has got to hit the ground running and show he can and motivate and tactically get that balance right between defending and attacking, which is everything really in football at this level. Yeah, he is right now. Frank Lampard is I read some articles about him. Like, where's the next job going to be? He's been rumored for loads of different jobs and hasn't landed any of them. I just I'll throw it back to you, Rob. Like, forget the short term bit. The long term, just give us a gut feeling who, I mean, of course, we know these guys. We've spoken to them before. We've played against them. We've watched them work. Do you have a gut feeling on who you think is better suited to it? You know, more football kind of, I don't know, more suited with tactical intelligence, with man management, with media skills. Yeah, the whole package of who you think.
Steven Gerrard. Like, from day one, he took the job up at Rangers. He sounded and looked like a manager. He's got a very good backroom staff around him, good coaches. I think he's seen where sometimes the manager sometimes steps away as a figurehead, lets his coaches go and do the work, and then comes in, has the word, you know, the Alex Ferguson way, maybe the Wenger way of doing things. I just get the sense he looks like he was made for football management. We're now going to see, because this is a test, at a good level with an ownership group that's ambitious and got money.
Yeah.
This is a really good look for Steven Gerrard and the perfect way for him to prove himself as a top-class Premier League manager.
So that is Aston Villa versus Brighton Saturday, Robbie, or 10 a.m. Eastern time on NBCSN. You're in this weekend. I'm going to be fixed to the TV all weekend to watch these games.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Another game I think we're going to be both watching is Norwich versus Southampton, Saturday, 10 a.m. This one's on Peacock, Eastern time, that is. Dean Smith hired as Norwich City's head coach.
Yes.
You go first on this one.
I like this too. Let me tell you why I like this too. I like this too because I think for Dean Smith, I think it was 7 or 8 days out of a job. Dean Smith is not in a position where if Dean Smith says, you know what, I'll take 6 months out and then I'll have a look at it starting next season. Dean Smith, there might not be a gig for Dean Smith in the Premier League. I looked at Chris Wilder, interestingly, this week, Rob. He's gone to your former team.
Come on, Borough.
Up the Borough. You know, he's had to go to a middling...
Careful.
Middling championship club that, you know, it's a long time now since they were back in the Premier League. I think Dean Smith was going to be that guy. He's smart enough to know he goes into a football club. He's still got 20-odd games to play, 27 games, I think it still is to play, plenty of points. A football club that we know, if they went down, it'd be disappointing, but it isn't the end of the world. You're then given a chance to come back, which Dean Smith's done with his Aston Villa team. The fit just feels right. Can he get into this group of players and get a little bit more? Defensively, they're not good. Attacking-wise, they're not good. Midfield, they've got issues. But Dean Smith is a man manager. There's not many jobs, Robbie Musto. A new manager comes in, and the last result has been a win. Dean Smith is that man.
I think it's, again, I'm the same as you, Rob. I think it's a really good fit. I mean, I think I look at it from the football club's point of view, Rob. Their model is of promotion and trying to stay in the Premier League without spending a ton of money. If they go back down again, they want to stick with their guy. This guy is a little bit different from Daniel Farke. He's also been promoted with Aston Villa and done great jobs in his previous jobs, Brentford and Warsaw, I think it was, Rob.
Yeah.
He's like Farke, he's got promoted, but he's won games in the Premier League. He's done good work in the Premier League. He knows what it takes to win games in the Premier League. So it's really a good fit again for them. Yeah. And I know Stuart Webber was very quick to say that he's been on, you know, he's always admired Dean Smith. It just makes sense. Now, whether Dean Smith can go in there and organise this team well enough to get the points required, that would be remarkable. That would be remarkable. I think, are they 5 points from safety, Robert? So it's not a massive amount, but what we've seen so far, I don't expect it to happen. But I guess, you know, of course, that's the plan. Can he rescue them? But I like the long-term feel with this appointment as well, Rob. Yes, he'll give him a short-term boost and he'll get more out of these players, I would think, than Daniel Farke. But he's still such the right guy if they do get relegated. And from his point of view, Rob, it's a good club.
Yeah.
It's a well-run club. He knows he ain't going to get a ton of money, but he will get time. He'll get patience from his ownership, from Stuart Webber, the sporting director. If things go wrong, you know, they'll have his back a little bit. And I like that about them. And I thought the Daniel Farke firing was like, yeah, absolutely the right time. He's had a couple of opportunities. Dean Smith, I just don't think there's many other better qualified, knowing the league, knowing the championship, promotion experience, winning games in the Premier League. and doing a really good job in the Premier League for the most part. His first real dip and he's gone. So, yeah, really like this appointment as well.
Feels like a good fit. Feels like both of them need each other a little bit. And I think that's a good place to be. And let's not forget, you know, Dean Smith has done great work at Brentford prior to the Villa. Goes in at below mid-table, takes him all the way up into the Premier League. Has a couple of seasons there. His first little bad run, 5 straight defeats, and he's gone. But Norwich might just have got themselves, picked themselves plum business there, and we'll see how that one goes. Let's move it on a little bit to Eddie Howe, because I think it was something that was rumbling, I think, before our last podcast, but Eddie Howe's now been appointed as the new head coach of Newcastle United. So Eddie's in the job. Eddie's back in the Premier League. Must be all happy with this? Sort of enough time for Eddie to get the job done and get this team away from relegation?
Yeah, of course he's got plenty of time. I've listened to him, Rob. He's been to interviews. He did a couple of official kind of, you know, first interviews at a football club. And he said all the right things. It's an honour for him to be a manager of this football club. And it is, because it's a great club, Newcastle United. So he's saying all the right things. Again, he talked about his philosophy and he will not change. He won't change. So don't expect him to go in there and to be really defensive first and try and set that strong foundation. That something that I don't know, I tend to go that way. If it was me in his position, I'd want to really secure defensively. He's going to go there on the front foot, Rob. He's going to play attacking football, which is exactly what Newcastle United fans want. They really, really do. I would just say, we know, Rob, we've been watching it, playing it a long time now, and the balance between attack and defence is a really difficult one. And if you can coach well enough and you put those players in good enough areas and angles, positions to be able to play out successfully without risking anything, well done. That'd be great coaching. But there's definitely a risk to the way he's going to do things, but it's going to be a fun ride, mate. It's going to be a fun ride. I expect some attacking football, but it could be, you know, both ends a little bit of drama, I reckon.
Yeah, it'll be what the Newcastle fans want. They've been desperate for some football. It was really interesting. You say, I listened to a couple of Eddie Howe interviews myself, and there was one in particular where he said, I'm a better manager for what I've been through. I've been and worked and looked at people, looked at my structures, looked at my processes, looked at my coaching. You know, he said, I'm better prepared for this job this time, and he understands the role better. So that's going to be interesting to see. I remember, probably 3 years ago, my friend, 3-4 years ago, we sat down with Manuel Pellegrini, who was West Ham manager at the start, and said a very similar thing. We're going to get on the ball and we're going to play and we're not going to worry about the opposition. It's all didn't last too long, Manuel. So if he can do it, and you've got to have the players who are courageous and prepared to have the ball. But as we know with Eddie Howe, that's the style of football he wants, and certainly the style of football he's got to get as well doing it, though, mate. Got to get the points as well.
Rob, just the last one on Eddie Howe. I think the thing that I would worry for him is if they don't start particularly well, has he got the personality to handle the pressure of that club when questions start to be asked and goals start to fly in? How's he going to react?
Well, I think he suggested with the interviews that he's a better manager now. He's stronger. He understands maybe some of the mistakes he made first time, and he'll rectify this. So that's going to be the challenge. Because, listen, this isn't going to be an easy ride for you. There's going to be some bumps on the way. There might be two or three defeats that come back to back. You know how this league can throw those kind of fixtures. And then he's going to have to be strong, show leadership. It's a bigger club. There's more media attention. There's more attention now of the ownership group. He's got to be, he's going to have to grow into that position and lead this football club. But fascinating watch. Looking forward to that one, my friend.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
We can't talk, have a podcast without talking Manchester United. We usually talk the manager, which we're going to save for a moment. Let's talk about Paul Pogba, who injured his thigh last week with France in training. There is talk that he could miss 6 to 8 weeks, Rob, which is a huge chunk of the season, which is no doubt disappointing for Pogba, but disappointing for Ollie and Manchester United fans listening in here. Some suggestions are that maybe Paul Pogba's played his last game for Manchester United, being that his contract is up and we get to the start of the year, he's got 6 months left. Well, certainly that it might not look like Paul Pogba has got a long-term future now at Manchester United. How do you see the Pogba conundrum?
Well, first of all, I did see the injury. I think if you look online, Rob, there's video of it where it's just a simple shooting drill. The coach just tosses it up, it bounces, and he has a shot at goal and pulls up pretty hard. Yeah, pulls up in a little bit of pain and stuff. So, yeah, that's going to be, I mean, that's a long time out, isn't it? That's a pretty bad one if it's going to be that amount of weeks. I mean, I did my thigh, of course, so many times, it was about 3 weeks each time. Anyway.
He's not talking to you, Mr. Musto, is he? You don't build them like the Mustos.
No, exactly right. Listen, he's been in and out of the team, Rob, the last few weeks. I went back and looked, it just looked like he's in it. He's been in and out of the side. I think it's pretty obvious that he wants to go somewhere else. He's going to start talking in January. You know, I think I hadn't thought he could have played his last game. It makes you reflect, Rob, a little bit, doesn't it? About all the money that it costs to bring him back and whether it was worth it and whether it's been, you know, disappointment, which I tend to think he's been in general. We've seen flashes of brilliance, Rob, and we've quick to break it down with some of our tactic stuff on the show that we've done. But on the whole, I've been disappointed with his many seasons now at Man United and what we've gotten. And it could be this is last season. I think it probably will be. Shame that he's got an injury right at this moment in time. But yeah, I don't know how many more times we'll see him play for Manchester United, Rob. What do you think?
Well, apparently he's in Dubai from warm into training to try and recover, get this thigh injury. I mean, they need him, Rob. They'll need him in Champions League. They'll need him in the league games. His FA Cup to come. Pressure on the manager and the football club with the spotlight to win things. My biggest sort of takeaway, if this is his last season, whether it's his last game or not, or playing to a game, is disappointment on both sides. Disappointment is probably the player because these moments, these cameos, these times, there's been the odd game where he's shown us who he really is or who he really can be. Yeah. And he's a game changer, Rob. He's a game changer. Mm. But we've seen too many of the other sides where he's been a liability, where he's not looked interested or focused, whether that's poor management, whether that's a bit of lack of self-motivation. I'm not sure. Maybe both parties in this should take some blame. But Manchester United haven't got what they should about Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba should be, at his very best, Rob, and I know this might sound a bit strange, at his very best, Paul Pogba should be starting to close in on a great Manchester United player. Those greats that go in a certain draw that you go, well, he has the capacity to have gone in that draw. And he actually will end up nowhere near.
Yeah, but you say yes, capacity, Rob. Those people that are great, and I'm going to do an interview in a couple of weeks' time with Brian Robson. There's going to be a movie about his career. Cool. You know, he didn't become great, Rob, did he, Paul Pogba? But he didn't. He lacked a little something. And by the way, of course, it's incredibly hard to be great. God, you know, to do the technical side, the physical side, the mental side, incredibly difficult to be great. Brian Robson and a few others have got that greatness and actually quite a few that have gone through Man United. So he hasn't quite had all aspects of a player's makeup to become great. Mm. But I think you make a good point. He should be. I mean, when you see him at his best, Rob, best player in the Premier League. Could be the best player in the Premier League if he managed to be consistent with all the things that we've seen over this season and previous seasons of what he can do. But, you know, Man United, Robbie Earl, are struggling. They've won three games in the last 10 in all competitions. They've lost five of those 10 in all competitions. I think actually Watford, they play Watford, don't they?
Watford, yeah.
And they'll be just four. They'll be 4 points behind Man United if Watford beat them, which is after 12 games played, almost a third of the season is crazy. And over this international break, Rob, I think we've heard as much discontent maybe coming out of the club, more talk about different managers, and maybe is the time than I think we've heard or seen before in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's time at the football club. What do you think to the talk that we've heard this last couple of weeks?
I think that some of the clubs have seen other things happen. Antonio Conte going to Spurs. Spurs get their man eventually, and it's made Manchester United think that, you know, a Pochettino, if he's a guy, or Zidane's name were being thrown out there, or whoever else is in the mix, maybe that they can make a move as well. And there was one man, actually, Rob, Brendan Rodgers' name that came into the mix for supposedly in the list of possible Manchester United managers. Brendan Rodgers was asked about that this week by a few reporters and actually snapped back. Listen to this.
Firstly, it's really disrespectful for you to ask the question when you have a manager in place, a good manager and a good man, who's working at the club. And secondly, I can't really comment on it because it's something that's not real. I'm here as the Leicester City manager, proud to be here, privileged to be here, and fully committed to the players, the club, the ownership. And that's about it, really. All the other noise around that is something that we can't control.
Actually, a good answer, Rob, I think, from him, isn't it, when you get asked something like that? I mean, normally he was quite strong with that, where he isn't normally in his interviews. He's such an easy guy to interview, and he's very forthcoming with answers on all range of topics, but he was quite strong there. but we will kind of talk about it a little bit. I mean, I know Antonio Conte, Rob, I think we both thought that would have been a good hit. Get him in there. He was available. It didn't happen. Talk of not really a Man United fit or whatever people say. I thought he would have been a good fit to shake the club up like he's going to do at Spurs. Brendan Rodgers also becomes kind of the next guy, Rob, with so many other great managers in great positions, mainly in the Premier League. What do you think about that prospect of Brendan Rodgers for Man United?
I don't. I think, and you're right, I thought Brendan did a great job of batting it off and did a great job of talking about the football club he's at and not the club he's in. Let me tell you, in my view, if Brendan thought that job was available, he's jumping in the car, he's turning on and he's heading up that M6, mate. Because if Manchester United comes along, he takes it. You've talked about, and it's a really interesting point, and like the Brendan projects, do they kind of go so far and then do they wither a little bit? Does the great managers just keep on and on and on and can drive that little bit more out? I just think to go from Ollie to Brendan is not what's required at this stage. I think this club needs from Ollie to top up there. And if you say, listen, mate, it's a risk, whoever they get. They get Zidane, he's never been in the league. They get Conte, you know, he's confrontational. Pochettino, he's never won anything over here. Blah, blah, blah. There's always something. But I just don't think the calibre quite of the name and the standing in the game of Brendan Rodgers is quite where Manchester United are right now.
It's actually a difficult one, Rob, to try and figure out because, you know, going back to your point about what I've talked about, I think they're 12th place in the Premier League right now, Rob. Without a ton of injuries. I looked at their injury list just a few moments ago. Not a lot of injuries. You know, has the sparkle gone off of that particular football club? I don't know. On the other side of things, you know, what a smart guy he is. He handles the media really well. He gets his teams playing great football. He develops young players. I do see the attraction that Man United would see in Brendan Rodgers. It's just like, you know, I would have thought of Brendan Rodgers for a Spurs or for...
Rodgers.
Pardon?
Pochettino or Rodgers for United? Do you have a choice? You get a choice of either.
I'd go Pochettino myself. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe...
The similar nature, aren't they, in the football, in the development, in the young players particularly. But there's something about Poch that just feels like given the right support, he could go up there and hold
it. I mean, it's almost like, Rob, every other Premier League club, I think it'd be a great fit, Brendan Rodgers. Almost every other one, it's just Man United. I just don't know whether... I also feel at this point, it's always going to bring in star players at Man United. Has he got that bit that I've talked about, Rob, particularly this season, that little bit of fire, enough fire in him that we see of Tuchel, we see of Klopp, we see of Pep, you know, those top managers, Mourinho at his best, you know, that drag you and they push you and there's a little bit of fear factor. Do you think, does he lack that, Rob? Is that important nowadays?
Brendan, it's there, but in a different way. I don't think he's that physical. I think he does it in a different way, but again, you know, does that work? You know, James Maddison's a really great example of somebody who you say, under him, we're thinking he'd go to the next level now. And it's kind of dropped off a bit for Maddison. You know, he's talented, we've seen great moments from him, but he hasn't quite been the product that we thought he would be working under Rodgers. The other thing slightly, Rob, and it has to come into your conversation, he's also been the manager of Liverpool. And that doesn't go down easy to be manager of Liverpool and Manchester United. I know times have moved. I know we're in a slightly different era. But it's a bit like Rafa going to Everton. Something that will get bashed with if he was to go there and things didn't go well.
Yeah, I mean, there's also been talk of Zinedine Zidane, Rob, recently, and I'm not sure that's a great fit. I'm not sure how much he's going to know about English football and managing. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, of course, the stuff he's won is amazing. Yeah. But, yeah, the talk continues, Rob, on that. And it's going to be something that we'll just watch for. As the weeks go on. And of course, Man United have got a big game that Saturday, 10 o'clock again, another 10 o'clock game on Peacock, Watford versus Manchester United, when really, Rob, you know, Manchester United have got to get back on track. It's like, you know, there's no excuses. It's a must-win game.
Watford puts that spotlight back on our
massively.
Back on the spotlight. So, yeah, big game. Probably the biggest game of the weekend, my friend, coming at Anfield. It's 12:30 Eastern Time on NBC. Liverpool playing Arsenal, two giants of English football who were one time, well, vying for titles on a much more regular basis. Obviously, Liverpool in more recent years. Arsenal, 2004, Robbie Musto, the last time they won a Premier League title. I mean, we're getting almost to 20 years since this great football club won a Premier League title. How do you see this one? Arsenal in decent form, coming unbeaten and I think eight now. Liverpool... a little bit careless, certainly defensively of late, not quite as informed as maybe Jurgen Klopp would like. Lost 3-2 last time out to West Ham United. Can Arsenal turn up at Anfield, give them a bloody nose? Because it's not been a great hunting ground for Arsenal in recent times.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really difficult for Arsenal. I think Liverpool, there will be a reaction. I said a game that, again, great one to look forward to, Rob. I like the look of this new Arsenal team, and it is a new team. It's almost a whole new defensive side of it. I think four out of the, you know, goalkeeper and three out of the back four, I think, are new players. How is this back four, Robbie Earl, new, young, in place for Arsenal, going to deal with Liverpool's front three? That's got to be a concern. I think the left back will be Nuno Tavares for Arsenal, probably, Rob. It could be Kieran Tierney. Tierney might come back in for this game. Tavares looked pretty good, but he's got Mo Salah against him. So a tremendous test for a young Arsenal back four at Liverpool, of course, at Anfield, with the atmosphere reaction. I think it's going to be really difficult. I mean, if Arsenal would find a way to not lose that game, that's another great building block on what has been a really good period where they've shown they can play a little bit, they can grind a little bit. But this is a very difficult test for them. I think, you know, just looking at the injuries, Rob, I think Firmino is not going to make it. Robertson's out, I think, with injury.
Keita, I'm not sure if he's going to be fit.
Yeah, I don't think he's okay. I think Milner's a doubt. I think Kostas Tsimikas, the Greek left fullback, has done really well for Liverpool, so he'll probably play in that side. Thomas Partey, I think, is a doubt for Arsenal in the middle of their midfield. Yeah. But Arsenal's defensive side of things has been pretty good. Three clean sheets in the last three games in all competitions, but this is a different test. So I would favour here. Jota, I think, is okay. I think Sadio Mane had something, a dead leg. I think he's okay. Or a rib injury, I remember reading.
Didn't he before international duty? Yeah.
So, fascinating game. I would just favour Liverpool to win it. But you're right. Liverpool's defensive side of things, that balance that we often talk about, has looked a little skewed. They look a little vulnerable. We'll see how they do against Arsenal.
Yeah, I think it's a good one for Arsenal. Almost like to measure up. Where are we after this one? You know, the top three teams are the top three teams. but also right now could be vying for fourth spot. Best of the rest, Manchester United, West Ham, Arsenal, Spurs. They're all kind of jockeying in position for that fourth spot. So, yeah, really good game. Really look forward to that one at Anfield. Can Liverpool get back to their defensive ways, and will that back three, will that front three have a bit too much for Arsenal? Or will Mikel Arteta have his team well set up to go against that one? I think that we got a few odds actually, mate. Just before we close.
Oh yeah, look, give us the odds
on that one. So our friends at PointsBet Sportsbook have Liverpool at -223. They've got the draw at +350. And an Arsenal win, my friend, is +525. So they go with you. They think it's pretty hands on a Liverpool win. The draw's at +350, and Arsenal win at +525. I tell you, I might not be my person who's $1 on Arsenal to get something there in good form. If Liverpool aren't right, I mean, I was looking at the team. If you think he's got Aubameyang and Lacazette now dovetailed in a team, one underneath his other. Saka one side, and Smith Rowe the other, just come off from England duty in good form. You know, they can get that right. They can cause Liverpool a few problems. So, looking forward to that one. Other games at the weekend, Leicester-Chelsea. That's that first game we talked a little bit about. Wolves play West Ham, a West Ham team that could go up to second or third, I believe, if they win things. Apparently, they've flown Mikel Antonio back from Jamaica to get him ready for the game, private jet. That's what you do when you're so important to West Ham. Burnley play Crystal Palace. Manchester City, Everton. That's a big game for Rafa. There's a little bit of pressure. Things not going well for Everton. And Tottenham play Leeds on Sunday. That's a big one, mate. Harry Kane, 7 goals for England, but only one in the Premier League. Can Antonio Conte get his team firing against the Leeds team that are struggling a little bit themselves? Rafinha apart, not quite living up to expectations. Right, mate, we've had 5 sackings already this season. That's a quarter of the Premier League managers losing their job. New faces, same old Premier League, same old storylines. We'll be back on Sunday. That's November the 21st, when we'll look back at match week 12 for Stevie's, Eddie's and Dean's first game in charge, and the big one at Anfield where Liverpool play Arsenal. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.